The reason why I'm going to study in the city because I came and stayed there for 3 years in the city. And while I was there, there's some souls that God saved in the city. And so I am trying to gather those souls that God saved in the city when I came and stayed there. So, and Lord allowed me to purchase a land, a property in our capital city. So I am looking forward to go to, Lord willing, to build a church building there. And so right now I am praying for, you know, churches and individuals to partner with me in your prayers and financial support. You know, you may not come with me physically, but, you know, your prayer and your financial support can come with me to make a difference for those lost souls, for their eternity in heaven. So I will really appreciate your prayers. And so... you know, you remember me in your prayers as I go. And so, like I said, I already booked my ticket and I'm ready to go. So it's been a difficult time for me during this time to raise my support and my goal. I didn't come up to my goal, but I just trust the Lord and I'm willing to go because God knows tomorrow and my future. And so I trust Him every day. So. Praise the Lord, and thank you so much. I really appreciate Pastor for allowing me to come and be with you all this evening. And also, I want to thank all of you that are tuning in with us. I hope this evening we will be a blessing to you. And so I am kind of, you know, struggling with my English because English is not my language. You know, I came here and I learned English, and you know, I sometimes struggle, but I hope I'm going to do a good job, Lord willing. And so, well, praise the Lord. I don't want to talk too much, but I want to preach a little bit here this afternoon. And if you're able to join me, and if you have your Bible, you can open your Bible with me to the book of Romans. Romans chapter number 1, verse number 16 and 17. We will only read these two verses. And the Bible says, if you are there, I'm going to read in verse number 16 of Romans chapter number 1. Verse number 16, the Bible says, this is Paul speaking. He said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Verse number 17, the Bible says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Let's pray. God, we come to you this afternoon, and God, we thank you, Lord, for your grace and your love and your mercy. God, we thank you, Lord, for the way that you have made through your Son, Jesus Christ, so that, God, we can have this life eternal in the Lord Jesus Christ, and God, the fellowship that we have through Him, that we can come together to worship you and to honor you. And thank you, Lord, for this place that we can come together and fellowship around your word. And God, we pray this evening that, Lord, you would help me, hide me behind the cross, and help me to say the things that you wanted me to say, O Lord, for your glory and honor, Lord. Help me and fill me with your spirit, Lord God, and use me. And help me to be a blessing to these folks. For all that you will do, God, I give you praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Now, the book of Romans is one of Paul's letter or epistle. And now, before I go into the message, I just want to give you a little bit background about Paul. As we know, the Bible tells us that Paul was not a good, good man. You know, a Jew. Born from a Jew family. He was born in Tarsus, the Bible says, in a city called Salisa. But the Bible says that even though he was born in Salisa, he grew up in Jerusalem. So when he was there in Jerusalem, the Bible says that he was set under the feet of the great teacher called Gamaliel. And so when he was under the feet of the great teacher Gamaliel, he was taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, So after being learning those laws, the Bible says that, you know, at the end of it, you know, he was jealous towards God. And after learning those laws, and, you know, he was jealous towards God, and there must be a lot of things that, you know, Paul did. But there are some things that the Bible is telling us who he was before Jesus Christ saved him. And the Bible says in Acts chapter number 26, this is what I call Paul's testimony. He's standing before King Agrippa, and he's telling him who he was after he was saved. In Acts 26, verse number 9 down to verse number 11, there are seven things that are listed here. The Bible says in verse number 9, I fairly thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. In verse number 10, the Bible says, which thing I also did in Jerusalem. Now, what are the things that he did in Jerusalem which was contrary to the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth? Now, there are seven things listed here. He said, number one, he said, many saints did I set them up in prison. He said, number one thing, he said, I put many Christians into prison. By having that authority and a commission from those chief priests, not only put those Christians into prison, but he said, I put them to death. Those Christians were put to death. Not only that, but he said, number three, I gave my voice against them. So that means that, you know, every time when he sees Christians, so when he heard about Christians, his voice was against, he was against those Christians. He was talking bad about those Christians. He was really against them. Not only that, but the Bible says in verse number 11, and I punished them often in every synagogue. He said, in other words, he was afflicted them with pain as if they have committed any crime or if they have break any law in the society. So he was persecuting them or punishing them for no reason. And not only that, but he said and compelled them to blaspheme. So he was forcing those Christians to blaspheme God. And not only that, but he said, number six, he said, being exceedingly mad against them. Meaning that, you know, he went beyond the limit of his angriness, and he was about to do anything that would please him to against the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Not only that, but number seven, the last one, he said, I persecuted them even unto the strange cities. He said, not only that I did this in Jerusalem, but he said, in every strange city, everywhere he went, he did the same thing. He put those Christians into prison and put them to death. And he was against those Christians. Now, when we read his story in Acts chapter number 9, he was on the road of Damascus, the Bible tells us. He was trying to do his, you know, mission. He was trying to go and kill the Christians. And the Bible tells us that, you know, when he was on the road of Damascus, there was a light from heaven above. Sun ran about him, and he fell to the earth. Now, when I was reading this, I thought, when he was on the ground, Jesus could have said, hey, Saul, this is the end of your life. No more. Because he was not just persecuting just the ordinary people, but this was... he was persecuting the Christians, the God's people. He could have said, Saul, this is it. This is the end of your life. And Jesus could have taken his life away that moment. But God had a different plan and a purpose in Paul's life. Saul, who became a Paul, he has a different plan and purpose in Paul's life. He was a chosen person. And here we see, you know, when he was on the ground, he heard the voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And Saul said, who art thou, Lord? And Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. And Saul said, what wilt thou have me to do? And here we see, you know, when Jesus Christ appeared to Paul on the road of Damascus, Saul, who became a Paul, he not only that he saved Paul there, but he changed his life around. He changed his character. He changed his behavior. He changed his attitude. He changed his mission. He changed his calling. He changed all of his entire life completely around. And he became a great missionary. He became a great teacher. He became a great preacher. He became a great writer. And Romans is one of his, the epistle that we are reading this evening. Now, Paul was writing to those Jewish believers in Rome when he was on his third missionary journey from Corinth. Now, the purpose of his writing, the reason why he was writing to those Christians, was number one, to set forth the fundamental doctrine of Christianity, which is the gospel that I want to talk about this evening. You know, when it comes to Christian, there must be a foundation or a basement in which your faith and my belief built on. We don't just put our faith and belief on somebody else's idea or because somebody else says something, so you faith or you put your faith and belief on that statement. No. When it comes to Christian, there must be a foundation in which your faith and your belief stands on, which is we will talk about this evening. Not only that, but number two reason was that he was writing to was his desire to visit those Christians in Rome. Now, I want to talk to you about this evening the power of the gospel of Christ. The power of the gospel of Christ. Now, we know the gospel. Now, when people say gospel, what comes into your mind? You know, I'm not trying to be smart, or I'm not trying to tell you how smart I am, but I just want to be a blessing to you this evening. You know, when they say gospel, what comes into your mind? Now, the gospel is good news, amen? Gospel is good news. Now, what is that good news? Now, Bible tells us that good news. Now, if you will, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse number 3 and 4. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. I'm going to read from verse number 1 down to verse number 4. The verse number 1, this is Paul speaking to the believers in Corinth. And this is what he said, "Moreover, brethren." Now, let me stop right there a little bit. The Bible says, "Moreover, brethren." Now, Paul is talking to the believers in Corinth. Now, he's using a different language here because, you know, when he was unsaved, he didn't say brother or sister to the believers or Christians. He became an enemy to them. But when God, Jesus Christ, appeared to him on the road of Damascus, he not only saved, but he changed his life around. And now he's a saved man talking to the saved people, Christians, believers, because they have a common ground. So he's talking to the believers in Corinth. You know, aren't you glad that, you know, when Jesus Christ came into your life, he not only that he saved you, but he changed your life around. Amen? Why? Because you don't do the things that you normally did before when you were unsaved. You don't speak the language that you spoke before. You don't do the things that you normally did before. Why? Because Jesus Christ came into your life and he not only saved you, but he changed your life around and make you a new creature. Gave you a new way of living, new life. We are different from the rest of the world. That doesn't mean that we are not in the world. We are in the world, but the Bible says that we are not of the world. That means that a thing that makes us different is that Jesus Christ lives inside of us, make us different from those that doesn't have Jesus Christ in their life. And we have a way of living. Our language will be different. Now, he said, "Moreover, brethren, I declared unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand." He said, the gospel that I preached unto you, not only that you received that gospel, but also, he said, wherein ye stand. He said, that gospel is also your foundation in which your belief or your faith is also built on. Not only that, but he said, number three, he said, by which, verse number two, by which also ye are saved. Not only the gospel that I preach unto you that you receive, but you also stand on that gospel. Not only that, but he said, you are also saved by that gospel that I preached unto you. And he said, keep that in memory. He said, remember that. Unless you believe in vain. He said, remember that. Remember where the gospel that you received and the gospel you were standing on and the gospel that you are saved from. He said, you remember that. Unless you believe in vain. Now, verse number 3 and 4 is the definition of the good news. Watch this now. Verse number 3. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Verse number 4. And that he rose, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scripture. That is good news. Amen. That is good news. Jesus Christ died for our sins and was buried. But you know what? He is no more in that borrowed tomb. He is no more in that graveyard. He is no more in that cemetery. He rose again on the third day. That is the good news. You know, the Savior that we serve in today is a risen Savior. If Jesus Christ did not raise from the dead, our beliefs will be in vain. Now he's telling them, now look at verse number 17. This is what he said. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. He are yet in your sin. If Jesus Christ did not raise from the dead, you Christians will not be saved. You will be yet in your sin. Praise the Lord. He's reminding them. He said, we are saving a Savior that died for our sins and was buried, but he rose again on the third day. That is the good news. That is the foundation, a basement doctrine in which we stand upon. Because if Jesus Christ died and if he did not raise from the dead, his birth will be in vain. If Jesus Christ died and was buried, and if he did not raise from the dead, the miracles and the teachings and all that he did will be in vain. But Jesus Christ died and was buried, and he rose again. And we are saving that Savior that died and was rose again. He's now seated at the right hand of God the Father in the city in behalf of you and me. Our Savior is not like those religious leaders like Buddhism and Hinduism and Islam and those other religious leaders that have started those religions and they died and they never came back. But our Savior Jesus Christ is a living Savior. Amen. Aren't you glad that our Savior, we are saving a Savior that died and was buried and he rose again on the third day. And that is the foundation, the death, burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is the good news and it is the foundation in which we stand on, our faith stands on. Not only that, but the Bible tells us that, you know, the many of them, you know, they've seen Jesus Christ raised from the dead. Mark chapter number 16, verse number 14 down to verse number 15. This is talks about Mary Magdalene, whom he cast seven devils out of her, seven demons. And in the first day of the week, she came to the tomb place, sepulchre, and Jesus appeared to her. Now, the account, Mark's gospel doesn't say, but when he appeared to her, he gave her the words to take it to the disciples. But John chapter number 20, verse number 17 tells us, when he appeared to him, he said, go to my brethren and tell them, I ascended to my Father, your Father, your God, my God, your God. So she brought that message to the disciples and she told them and they didn't believe, meaning that they doubted that Jesus Christ raised from the dead. Not only that, but the Bible says that on that same day, Jesus was in a different form. He appeared to two people on the road of Emmaus and they were walking and talking about the death of Jesus Christ. And it's been 3 days and we know the story. And he revealed himself and they also brought the message to the disciples and those that were with them. But they didn't even also believe. Now, Mark chapter number 16 and verse number 14 and 15 talks about, you know, when these doubting disciples were in this house, they were trying to eat and Jesus shows up. Verse number 14, the Bible says, afterward he appeared unto 11 because Judas Iscariot was not there. He's already dead now. And so he appeared to 11 as they sat at meat and abridged them them wheat, their unbelief and hardness of their heart, because they believe not. Now watch this next phrase. Now he said, them which had seen him after he was risen, this is what he told them. Those that have seen him raised from the dead, this is what he said. Verse number 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, go ye into all the world and preach that gospel. What is that gospel? Preach the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus is alive. He said, take that message to wherever you go and preach to everyone. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it is the power of God. Raising of Jesus Christ, it is the power of God. Because the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse number 14. And God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Amen. Now I want to give you four truths in the verse that we just read in Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 16 and 17. There are four things that was a blessing to me, and I want to be a blessing to you. Now, why is the gospel of Jesus Christ? It is the power of God. Why it is power? Because the raising of Jesus Christ, it is the power of God. Now, it does four things that mentioned in here that I want us to see. Why the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is the power of God? It's because, number one, it gives salvation to everyone that believe it. Whether it is Jew or Gentiles, look at verse number 16. The Bible says, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And here we see the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God to give salvation to the Jews or to the Gentiles, those that will believe on him. Now, you know, you and I, the Christians, God didn't give us the authority and power to forgive somebody else's sin or to save somebody from the sin. You know, we can tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ, but when it comes to saving that soul, it is not our authority or it is not our power. We can tell them, but only Jesus Christ will save his people, and he will also forgive their sin. And here, not only that, you know, in the gospel, that not only that saves this person or this group of people, but in saving of that person, what happens is that he redeems that person from the bondage of sin and death. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse number 22, I'm not going to go there, but I'm going to paraphrase. The Bible says that we died in Adam's sin. Even though we died in Adam's sin, we shall be made alive in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, how do we made alive in Christ Jesus, being dead in Adam's sin? Now, Bible tells us in John chapter number 6, verse number 63, this is Jesus speaking to the disciples, and he said in verse number 63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, and the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. He said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So what happens is that when a person, a sinner, hears the word of God and believes, what happens is that it is the power of Holy Spirit quickens that person in Christ Jesus. The word quickens means made alive. Now, alive from what? Because the Bible says that we died in Adam's sin, but in Christ we shall be made alive. So what happens is that when that person trusts the Lord Jesus Christ as his or her personal Lord and Savior, it is the working of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit quickened or made that person alive in Christ Jesus. Amen. He make that person alive in Christ Jesus. Not only that, in saving of that person, it redeems that person, but he make that person alive in Christ Jesus. Not only that, but Romans chapter number 6, verse number 22, it says that he freed that person from the sin. Not only that, but after he freed that person, he made that person to be a servant of Jesus Christ, or God Almighty. Not only that, but he said, at the end of it is everlasting life. Not only that he saved that person, but he redeems that person and make that person alive again and free that person and make him to be a servant. And at the end of it, he or she has everlasting life. Not only that, but he delivers that person from the enemies of this world. Galatians chapter number 1, verse number 4 says that who gave himself for our sin that he might deliver us from this present evil world. He gave himself, the Bible says. Jesus Christ gave his hands and gave his feet, gave his head, gave his body, gave his life, gave his soul, gave his spirit. Jesus Christ gave himself completely for you and for me. Jesus Christ came to deliver us from this present evil world. Not only that, but he forgave all our sins in the past, present and future sins were under the blood of Jesus Christ. Not only that, but he made that person to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 17, the Bible says that if any man be in Christ, is a new creature, all things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. Amen. In saving of this person, the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is the power of God, not only to give salvation to the Jews or to the Gentiles, but number two, it reveals the righteousness of God into that person. In other words, it imputes the righteousness of Jesus Christ into that person. Look at verse number 17. The Bible says that for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. For therein, in there, what is in there? In the gospel of Jesus Christ, that death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, not only it contains the power of God to save that lost, sin-sick soul, but what happens is that after he saved, he gives his son's righteousness to that person. Why? Because Isaiah 64, verse number 6 says, our righteousness is filthy rags. That's why we need the righteousness of God in our lives. Our goodness and our righteousness will not guarantee or will not allow us to enter the kingdom of God. We must have the righteousness of God. We must have Jesus Christ in our life. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 21, we know this verse. For he, that is God, made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might make the righteousness of God in him. We sinners, when we trust him, we might make the righteousness of God in him. Not only that, but Romans chapter number 4, verse number 22, down to verse number 24. This is Paul quoting Old Testament, Genesis chapter number 15, verse number 6. When Abraham had a strong faith in God, God imputed to him his righteousness. Verse number 22 of Romans chapter number 4, the Bible says, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Verse number 23, now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. You know, this was not written here for Abraham's sake alone, that when he had a strong faith in God, God gave him righteousness to him. It is not because of Abraham's sake, but look at verse number 24. I love this. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, whosoever, for us also, and also whosoever that will be, also this righteousness will also be given to that person too. But here's the condition. The Bible says, If we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ who raised, believe on God who raised Jesus Christ from the dead, we will also, that righteousness of Christ will also be given to us. Amen. If we believed on him that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Amen. Praise the Lord. Here we see number two thing that we see here, the reason why the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it is not only that saved that lost soul, but he also gave or gives his son's righteousness to that person. Amen. Because our righteousness is filthy rags. Number three, I already told you I have only four points, so I'm just going to run quickly here. And number three, the reason why, the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is not only to save that person, but it gives the righteousness of Jesus Christ to that person. But number three, it gives faith to that person. It gives faith to that person. Look at verse number 17. The Bible says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Now, folks, this faith was not given by anybody else in this world. Amen. We didn't get this faith from a White House, or we didn't get this faith from any organizations in this world, but this faith was given by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Why? Because the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter number 12, verse number 2, I'm just going to quote the first part of it. It says that, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That means that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith, and he gave this faith to us. Amen. Now, why do we believe what we believe from the Word of God? And why do we believe what we hear from the Word of God? Because it is true. Amen. The why you say amen when the Word of God has been preached? Because it is true. And God gave that faith for that one purpose, is to believe and trust his Word. You know, why do we believe the forgiveness of sin? Because it is true. It forgives our sins. Why do we believe the blood of Jesus Christ? Because it is true. It cleanses us from our sins. Why do we believe God the Father and the Son and Holy Spirit? Because they exist. It is true. And it is by faith. And God gave that faith to believe what we cannot see with our physical eyes on this side of the land. Amen. And the Bible tells us in Romans chapter number 10, verse number 17, we're familiar with this scripture. The Bible says, then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The Bible doesn't say that faith comes when you watch the television. The Bible doesn't say that faith comes when you read the newspaper. Bible doesn't say that faith comes when you read, you know, other ordinary books. The Bible says that faith comes when you hear the word of God. That God gave that faith to believe all the promises that are written in this precious book, all the words that are in this precious book, and God gave that faith to believe all these truths that are written in this precious book. Not only that, but Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 8, we also know this verse, for by grace he has saved through faith, that not of yourself, but it is the gift of God. Amen. By grace we are saved by true faith. Amen. Not only that, but Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 1. We all know this verse as well. The Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, is the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the evidence of things we don't see with our physical eyes, but it is there. It is there. It is faith. It gives us faith to believe what we cannot see with our physical eyes on this side of the land. Now, I'm down now, almost last to a number four. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it is the power of God, not only to save that sin, sick, lost soul, but also it gives his son's righteousness to that person, that individual, which is you and I. When we trust the Lord Jesus Christ, God gave the righteousness to us. Not only that, but he gives us faith to live each and every day. Not only to trust as a Christian, as a believer, as each and every day, knowing that, you know, our God will take care of us, but also for your salvation as well. You know, if you never trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can trust Him, you know, and this faith that God has given us, you know, we know that everything is good, you know, and even though you may go through sufferings and sickness and pains and during this pandemic, you know, things are not turning out well, but you know, God is giving this faith, knowing that there's better life coming after this life, amen. There's a better home, and, you know, we are not from this world, we are just passing by. And there is faith, knowing that there's good life is coming after this life. Just hang in there. There's better life coming. Praise the Lord. Number four thing that we see here is that it gives life eternal. Look at verse number 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. In other words, the righteous shall live by faith. You may say, you know, is this a contradiction? Because you said our righteousness is filthy rags. And how these righteous people will save or will have eternal life. Now, these are the people that have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. They trusted the Lord Jesus Christ and the righteousness. They believe in it. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. So what happened was the righteousness, the eternal Savior Jesus Christ, the eternal righteous one of God comes inside of that person. In other words, the eternal Savior comes inside of that person, and that eternal Savior makes that person to have life eternal forever and ever. Why? Because the eternal Savior is living inside of that person. The eternal righteous one is living inside of that person, and that makes you to have that life eternal in you and I. Amen. When we trust the Lord Jesus Christ and accepted Him into our hearts, and the righteousness, eternal Savior Jesus Christ came into our hearts. It is not because of our goodness and our righteousness will make us to go to heaven, but it is the righteousness of God that lives inside of us, gives us eternal life, the eternal Savior that lives inside of us. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I want to give you just only one scripture verse here. John chapter number 3, verse number 15. The Bible says that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life. You know, if you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you have that life eternal in you. But if you never trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you do not have that life eternal in you. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to conclude with these last two statements here. Now, you might probably have already heard of these two statements, but I'm going to say, born twice and die once. Born twice and die once. That means that, you know, every one of us, we are parents, and you know, our parents came together and we were born. That is a physical birth. And now also, you were one time, you heard the word of God, you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe through your pastor, or maybe through an evangelist, or maybe through a missionary, or maybe through your parents, or maybe through a gospel tract, on whichever way or whatever ways that Jesus Christ came into your life and saved you and entrusted the Lord Jesus Christ, you were born into the family of God. That is a spiritual birth. So what will happen is that when you die on this side of the land, we may not see your physical body on this side of the land. And when your physical body separates from your soul, and when you come to this side and stand before God, and that soul that trusted and born into this family will live with this family forever and ever and ever in eternity. Because he born, that soul born into this family. But the second point is the opposite of the first one. Born once and die twice. That means that, you know, you were physically born, but you never trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You heard the word of God. The Spirit of God convicted you, but you never came forward and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. What will happen is that when you die, your soul will also separate from your body will also separate from your body on this side of the land. We may not see you on this side of the land. And that soul didn't trust the Lord Jesus Christ, then that soul comes to this place. And that soul is also not belongs to this place So this soul will also separate from this family to go to where it belongs to, which is hell, forever and ever and ever. Now, difference is this, you know, while this group of people that are born into this family will enjoy their life and enjoy with Jesus Christ, and they will have joy and praising God, and they will enjoy their life. But those that never trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and will go there, there is a place of tormented, you know. There's a, the fire is there, not just for a year or a day or a week or months. It's for eternity, the lifetime. Now, my question to you this evening is this. Which side of these two categories that you find yourself? Were you born twice or just once? If you never trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, today's the day of salvation, the Bible says. Because you don't know what is coming after this life, amen? If you never trust the Lord Jesus Christ, God is allowing you this day for a purpose. Because, you know, when you die without Jesus Christ, and you might end up in the wrong place. And Jesus Christ loved you, and he died for you, and he wants you to be saved, you know. And you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior. Please let us know that you can be sure you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can go together. When Jesus Christ comes back, we'll go and live with him forever and ever. That's where our original home is. So if you never trust the Lord Jesus Christ, today is the day of salvation. Thank you so much, and may God bless you all. Thank you.
Can I call on you right now just to consider what was preached tonight? That if you've only been born once, you need a second birth. You need to be born twice. Jesus said, ye must be born again. We all have had that physical birth, but not everyone's had that spiritual birth, that second birth. And so tonight, if you're hearing the Word of God, the presentation of the benefits of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that tonight you would call on him, ask him to forgive your sin. Trust him alone. Ask him to come into your life. Ask him to forgive you and cleanse you from your sin. Ask him right now to become your Savior. Put your trust in what he did for you on the cross. His blood, the Bible says, can cleanse you from all sin. The Bible says when you call upon the name of the Lord, he will save you. He will save you from sin. He'll save you from eternal damnation. He will save you and make you his child if you put your trust in him. So could I encourage you right now, wherever you're at, just to simply call upon Jesus Christ. Just take the moment to do that. Call upon him. Ask him to forgive you. Ask him to cleanse you from sin and put your trust in him. Many who are watching tonight have done that. You have that second birth. You've been born twice, and you'll only have to face one death, physical death. Those who are not born again don't have that second birth. Are going to die twice. You'll die physically, and then you'll also die spiritually. Eternal punishment, as Brother Paul mentioned. And for those of us who are saved, it's a moment just to say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for being so good to save me. And I liked what we heard tonight, the benefits of the gospel of Christ. It saves us, but it does more than just save us from hell and save us from our sin. It puts God's righteousness in us, so we have God's righteousness. And we're not going to be second-class citizens in heaven. We're going to have the righteousness of God in us. That gospel of Jesus Christ affords us to have faith. Faith that one day is going to become sight. And eternal life, this new life, this second birth, will never end. It's eternal. Boy, great benefits of the gospel of Jesus Christ in our life. Well, I believe this. I believe God's going to use Brother Paul in his homeland. I believe he'll use him there in the capital city, and then in the years to come as he ventures out in other parts of New Guinea, God will use him. So I want you to do this. I want you to be in prayer for him, and I'll try to make sure that Brother Paul leaves some of his prayer cards behind so that you can get some as you come in and be in prayer for him in his ministry. when he was showing some of the slides, it reminded me a little bit of my brother-in-law, who has traveled many times into New Guinea and gone into the different far reaches of New Guinea. And I remember him telling us about having to go on those roads where men have to pull their vehicles up by rope just to make it. And so it was pretty interesting to see that physically with my eyes tonight. And again, just pray for Brother Paul that God would use him in a tremendous way. And again, we thank you for being with us for the service tonight. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you that you've extended to all of us, not just a few, but every Christian, the call, as we saw there in the book of Mark tonight, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Our world begins right here in our own Jerusalem, but it certainly extends to New Guinea. It extends to every corner of the earth. And while we may not go to New Guinea physically, Lord, it's our privilege to be able to lift this brother up in prayer. It's the privilege you've given us for these almost 42 years now to partner with people as they are in the different continents of this world presenting the gospel, even on this Lord's Day. We thank you for the privilege you've given us this as a church family to do this. And we thank you for opportunities like tonight to have men and women come in and just express the call that God has given to them. And so we just ask tonight you'd use Brother Paul as he returns in these months to come back to his homeland, that you would use him effectively to bring many to Christ, that not just one or two, but even many churches would be started in the years to come, that your favor would be upon him as we know it is, that the power of the Holy Spirit would just dominate his life from day to day. And as he completes his deputation, that you give him safety. And as he travels back to Marietta tonight, that you give him safety. Lord, we just thank you for this good day, the blessed day you've given us in Christ. We thank you for it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good night, and you have a good week, and we'll see you folks here on Wednesday night.